Blog Talk Radio.
Gosh, that was rude. Hi, Amanda and Andy.
Hello, Teresa. Hey. It's great to have you on again, darling.
Thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Andy, you're not attempting your British accent again, are you?
Let you go. Hello. Anyway, welcome to the Andy and Amanda show. Welcome to the that was very good. Anyway, welcome to the Andy and Amanda show here, coast to coast on Blog Talk Radio. We are joining the UK and USA together for another engaging presentation and discussion of the news of the day and whatever else might be on our minds at that moment. You never know. It's the Andy and Amanda show here, folks, and we welcome you on board. If you'd like to call our studio, we can do it. You join us right now for the next hour. Our number is 515-605-9888 and internationally dial 1, or you can email andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Let us know you want to be on, and I will send you an invite over the internet. As long as you have speakers and a headset or whatever, you can get on that way too. So
absolutely.
We look forward to having you. Yeah, look forward to having you join the program if you care to do so. We know most of you just like to hear the podcast, so we're cool with that too. You don't have to call if you're shy, whatever. But we have a lot of stuff to talk about today in the news. What's going on over in the UK? What's going on here in the United States? Of course, a lot here with the impeachment trial. Well, the impeachment trial actually already happened.
Ooh,
the president
yes.
was impeached. Now it's the Senate hearings to see if they convict or not. But you're already impeached.
Wow.
And it's important that we make that distinction, folks. Like, well, we'll see if he's impeached or not. Well, he was already impeached for the second time, the only president in history to be impeached twice. As a matter of fact, this former president is on his record. He's enjoying 50% of all the impeachments that's ever happened in this country.
Wow, that's quite greedy, really.
there's only been four, and he's got two of them.
Wow. Well, he does like to strive for like greatness, right? So I'm not surprised it's happened to him.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
He likes those winning numbers.
This guy's making a lot of history.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Hey, Andy, he's definitely going to be on the Guinness World Book of Records, right?
Something. I don't know if those of you have been watching or monitoring at least what was going on today. It's not over yet. It's still going on right now if you care to listen in or watch wherever you are. The second day of the of his impeachment trial is continues to be dominated by detailed and damning documentation of the events leading up to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol by the House impeachment managers. And they are doing an exquisite job, not just saying, hey, this is what happened on January 6th. They're not doing just that. You know, what they're doing is going back to 41 days, 50 days before the election, when Trump first started saying that the only way he can lose is if the election is rigged. This is going to be a rigged election. It's going to be the biggest fraud in history. There's no way we're going to lose this thing. And this is 50 days before the election. Why did he say these things? Why did he begin to incite anger then and rile up his base? Because the numbers, every single credible poll in the world, the BBC, all the polls here, his own Fox News, we used to call it Trump News, every single poll showed him behind his opponent, Joe Biden. Every single one. And so he goes out and says, if they win, the election's rigged, it's a fraud, don't let them steal it. And sure enough, election day comes, and it was also predicted that the day, you know, because of COVID and people not wanting to stand in line for hours on end with other people risking their lives and their health and the lives of loved ones to stand in line to vote. So they opened up the mail-in, they broadened the mail-in ballot process. It was already in process for seven states already had mail-in ballots for a long time, and most of the other states of the country followed suit by saying, hey, listen, we don't blame you if you don't want to stand in line all day long or for several hours to vote, you can mail in. So what they predicted ahead of time, if you remember, because we discussed this a lot at the time on our show too, what they predicted at that time was the folks who didn't give a damn about wearing a mask, who didn't give a damn about, you know, who they were next to or who they might, you know, just spreader events, right? Trump had spreader event rallies where thousands of people gathered with no masks. So these same people went to go vote on the day of the election, and it was predicted because of that, his numbers the day of the election were going to be shining, going to be spectacular on his behalf. It wasn't until after all these absentee and mail-in votes began to get counted with the teeter-totter go the other way in favor of Biden, which was predicted to happen, and it did happen. So the evening of that election, and we're just kind of, you know, let's do a rewind here, if we all can recall, because I watched, you know, I was glued to the TV like so many were, I'm sure, around the world, when all those numbers favored Trump that day, and I went to bed thinking, how the hell is this possible? How can this possibly be? And not really, it didn't really sink in my own mind that, wait, Andy, that we have millions, tens of millions of votes yet to be counted. Yeah. Don't worry, Andy, relax, right? I didn't think that. I'm like, oh my God, is it possible? Is it possible we're going to lose? Is it possible? And it wasn't so much we're going to lose as much we got to get this crazed man out of the White House, this idiot, this mentally unhealthy psychopath out of the White House who should had no business
imagine
being there.
He had two more months to stay in office.
So what happens? Yeah, really. We know what happened after 2 months. So what happens is that evening he gets on the TV and said, I can honestly say we won this election. We won the election. And then when the numbers started going the other way, it was stolen. It was steal. They counterfeit. Fraud. I'm not going to rehash. We know. We talked about it enough. We played the clips. You've seen the news. We've read the papers, the headlines, and anybody who's around the world has seen what occurred, as Cornell just said, the 2 months that followed. But anyway, what they did, you know, getting back to what we're talking about and what the Democrats, I think, did, the managers did, so well today and continue to do today, is really tie from those couple of months prior to the election to January 6th together, showing this isn't one isolated event where he got up there and he said, you can't win with weakness. You've got to be strong. I hope Mike Pence comes through for us today. If he doesn't, all these things on January 6th. But what he said, what he tweeted, you know, what he wrote, for months leading up to January 6th, it wasn't just one day. It was a culmination of expression. And you got to think, he was president number 45. Have we ever heard 44 presidents that preceded him ever, even if their numbers said they were going to lose or weren't doing too well? They never said, well, if I lose this thing, it's because the other side's cheating. You know, they had dignity, they had integrity, they had honesty. They came and they said, look, you know, the numbers are the numbers. If you can't really go by polls, we're doing our best. We believe in what we're saying. We believe what we're doing is the best for the country or any local office that somebody may be running for. Imagine a local mayor. Imagine a mayor of Podunk, Illinois. Sorry, Podunk. With population of 27. Imagine a Podunk, Illinois mayor there saying his counterpart, the polls, you know, before the election that he was going or she was going to lose and for mayor, and saying it's rigged. They're going to steal the election, folks. That's why the polls are showing I'm losing. It's rigged. It's a fraud. Now take this to the presidential level and imagine 44 presidents. 44 presidents, anybody, any one president who preceded Donald Trump getting in front of the microphone or on the TV or on whatever media there was and saying, the reason why I'm losing, the reason why the numbers are showing I'm losing, I'm not losing, folks. I'm winning. Not only am I winning, I am winning by a landslide. I am winning so big. This is a landslide. And if anything else happens outside of a landslide, you know that it was rigged. That's why.
And that caused a lot of chaos.
Yeah.
It caused a lot of chaos.
My goodness. So it's like plans and ideas in people's heads.
Yeah. And there's some, you know, I think Trump has depicted himself as being his own worst enemy. You know, the House impeachment managers did a very respectable job of making their case. But in truth, let's face it, Trump himself did a lot of work for them. His tweets, his speeches, his media interviews. There's just so much of it for so long, time after time. Trump left nothing to the imagination. What more could he have done? I don't know.
Yeah.
He said the election was rigged. He told his supporters that they were going to have to fight like hell, quote unquote, to keep hold of a democracy. That if he didn't win, if they didn't do that, then there would be no more America. That's what he said. He refused to agree to the peaceful handover power. If he lost, he never. Can anybody get on 515-605-9888? You tell this show one time where Trump
just
ever.
One time.
Where
like
he said
the Jamaicans say, one time, man.
One time. That he said the election was not rigged. He told his supporters that they're going to have to fight like hell time and time again. You know, he said we wouldn't have a country anymore if he didn't win. There'd be no more country. We'd lose the country if he didn't win. He refused to agree to the peaceful handover of power he lost. He never once, again, call us at the show, tell us one time where he agreed that, listen, if he lost, he would agree to a peaceful handover of power. One president, 44 of them that preceded him, tell me one that ever said, if I lose, no way. If you show me it was illegal and all the ballots were legal, then I'll think about it. I don't think. But I'm not going to hand over a peaceful handover if the ballots aren't valid and legal and then he went over all these conspiracies, how dead people.
Yeah.
He said there are more people voted in Detroit, Michigan than lived in Detroit, Michigan. Well, he was off by several hundred thousand. Detroit, Michigan, had, 500-some thousand registered voters. Only 200-some thousand of them voted. So how did more people who live there vote than who live there? Because again, he skewed that. People, his base, and that's just one example of his base believing in what he said. Oh my God, more people voted in Detroit than live in Detroit, but it's not true. Half the voters in Detroit voted. Half the registered voters.
Point blank, wow. Everybody wanted him out of office. That's it.
So here's what the House managers did. They just poured Trump's own words and his tweets into the lap of every single senator sitting in the chamber. All the evidence directly from Trump's mouth, from his keyboard, from his phone, from his typing fingers makes it hard for any Republican to suggest that this is just purely a partisan political proceeding without any there, so to speak.
Yes.
This wasn't the House impeachment managers putting words in Trump's mouth. This was Trump. They showed pictures of Trump's tweets. They showed videos of his speeches that go back preceding the election. Unbelievable.
Yes.
And let's talk about Liz Cheney for a minute, Dick Cheney's daughter. A week after the Wyoming Republican survived a challenge to her leadership because in Congress she voted to impeach the president. Right? Remember that?
Yes.
And in her words, explaining why she was voting to impeach Trump were used again by the Democrats to make the case for why he needed to be convicted. And quote, the president of the United States summoned this mob, assembled this mob, and lit the flame of this attack, unquote.
I love the way you just said that. Assembled
I'll say it again. Mob. Want me to do it again?
Yes, go. Please.
Yes, please, Andy, please.
I love it.
I'm in as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Then
let's look at Trump supporters. The Trump supporters. Here's the thing. I was having a conversation with somebody who might even call into the show today on the phone earlier. Actually, from back in Pennsylvania, who said this about the mob. That these are people.
Yeah.
Who aren't particularly politically acute to what is going on. If you ask them exactly why they were there politically, what exactly happened? What happened? What went on in the real world that's going to make you break this window in the Capitol building? That most of them, in a to an intellectual degree, in a real world degree, probably would not know what really happened in the real world. They were spoon-fed information that they needed to believe. They were spoon-fed information that led them to be angry. But here's an interesting point that was brought up to me today, that most of these people, not all, were angry people to begin with. Something else in their lives, either a bad marriage, a bad this, a bad, you know, not having a job, a bad, you know, anger. Mm. And this is an excuse to go act upon that anger. Why are you here today? I don't know. I'm going to break this goddamn window. I'll show them, you know. I don't know. Oh, bitch, goddamn it. I'm going to go. Trump said to go here and break down the window. I'm going to break down the window. Hell yeah. Trump, hang Pence. Who's my Pence?
Yeah.
I don't know. But they were going to hang him, whoever he is. Nah, I'm going a little too far, but you know what I'm saying. I'm exaggerating, folks. I know I'm kidding around. Don't take me too seriously.
Yes, he is, y'all.
You know,
right? Please,
I don't mean to insult anybody. I love everybody. You know, I love you. My people. I love you all, my people.
You know what I'm saying?
and how about the footage of the Trump backers outside of Michigan's Secretary of State's house chanting "Stop the steal," and those who participated in the January 6th riot insisting that they were acting on the orders of the president? They showed them on the screen today. His commands led to their actions.
Wow.
Nice.
You know, and then you just kind of connect the dots. We're not stupid, or are we? I shouldn't say that so convincingly.
Faithful, right?
Let me rephrase that. Strike that, Your Honor.
Strike it on the record.
Thank you. Strike it on the record. Cornell, strike that. When we edit this, strike what I just said. All right. Let's say I like to think that people aren't stupid. One of the key debates in this trial is whether the people who rioted at the Capitol on January 6th were doing so at Trump's request, or whether they were simply bad actors who had decided to make trouble during the electoral vote certification before Trump said a word at the Stop the Steal rally that day. Trump defenders are very quick to note that some of the rioters had already made their way down to the Capitol complex before Trump had even started speaking. And I got something to say about that. You want to hear what I have to say about that?
Yeah,
we want to hear. We definitely want to hear.
All right, here it is.
With your best
are we prepared for this one?
We got to be ready for this. Trump.
All right, let me go on my camera.
Trump called for this rally to be held on January 6th at the precise time where the Congress was to officiate the Electoral College ballots. He called for this rally to be at the same time. There was a permit issued for this rally, only to be held in a area outlined in front of the stage where Trump and his other folks, Giuliani, Donald Trump Jr., blah, 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 were to speak. Yeah. When the folks started marching down Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol, there was no permit for them to do so. So guess what happened? White House got them a permit to do so.
Wow.
Fact. Happened.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it's not good. This is not good.
No, that's not good.
Your Honors, now before I rest my case.
Knock me up.
Knock you up? Yeah. What? Knock you up?
I said lock me up.
Oh, lock you up.
Yeah. I'm guilty for everything. Andy's back.
Gotta bounce our string.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of that, Andy, not to change the subject, the great Larry Flint died. Since you say bang, 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 bang.
Yes, he did. Hustler Magazine.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. Bless him.
Yeah, he did. Larry, he died today. He was the publisher of the, as many of you know, his company is called Larry Flint Publications, which produces magazines like Hustler, porn videos, pornographic television channels, Hustler TV, and he also, a couple of decades ago, I forget when, but I remember him being there was some court issued battles that he had to get around. I forget what it was exactly, but He took $1,800, Larry.
$1,800,
and bought his mother's bar in Dayton, Ohio, called the Kiwi. He refitted it, and as soon as making $1,000 a week, he used the profits of that to buy two other bars. Right?
Wow. Okay.
He worked spending 20 hours
That's
a day taking amphetamines to stay awake. He frequently bartended bar. He managed the place. He frequently had to break up fistfights between drunken customers. And then he decided to open a new high-class bar, which would also be the first in the area to feature nude hostess dancers. He named it the Hustler Club.
Interesting.
And
okay.
From 68 onward, with the help of his brother Jimmy and later his girlfriend, Athelia Leisure, I don't know, that's his real name, he opened the Hustler Clubs in Akron, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, and Toledo. Soon, each club rose between $260,000 and $520,000 a year. And then he acquired the Dayton franchise of a small newspaper called The Bachelor's Beat, which he published for 2 years before selling it. At the same time, he closed a money-losing vending machine business. And then in 72, he started Hustler Newsletter, a two-page black-and-white publication about his clubs, which later became, as we know, the Hustler Magazine. It went to 16 pages and 32 pages in August of 73. As a result of the oil crisis, the American economy entered a recession. Revenues from Hustler Clubs declined, and Flynn had to refinance his debts to declare bankruptcy. One or the other.
Wow.
So he decided to turn the Hustler Newsletter into a sexually explicit magazine, which we're all in favor of on this show. Excuse me.
I know you are number one fan. You know more than I do. Keep going, Andy.
But he paid the startup costs of the new magazine by deferring payment of the sales taxes that his club zones and their activities. And I remember that. He had some tax issues. That's what it was. But anyway, and then some. And then he also had a tabloid named Screw magazine. And then he had pink shots or photos of open women's sexual parts. Yeah, he did that.
You hear this, Amanda? You hear this?
I'm hearing this. It's okay.
At every crossroad, Flint had to fight for every single issue that he published.
Wow.
And so he's a fighter. He battled. He battled. He was approached by paparazzi who were taking pictures of former First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis while she was sunbathing nude in vacation in 71. I barely remember that, but I do remember. And then he purchased them for $18,000, and he put them in the 1975 August issue of Hustler with Jackie Kennedy and sunbathing. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many that sold.
No.
Three.
And I bought two.
They say three is a magic number.
Yes.
Flint was married five times. He married his fourth wife, Athelia, in 76, and there he remained married until her death in 87. And then he married his fifth wife, Elizabeth, in 1998. He has five daughters. You know, I wonder, with all the work he did, five daughters and a son, and as his daughters became teens and adolescents, and knowing what how he encouraged 18 and olders, 21 and olders, whatever, to pose nude and explicit positions in his publications, having daughters. I wonder if that affected him at all.
Yeah, thoughts like that crossed my mind.
Yeah, I've got daughters. And I just couldn't imagine. I just couldn't imagine being in that business and having, you know, but I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. Who am I?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's pretty... Not that, you know, I'm like, you know, if the women want to do it and the guys and girls like to watch or peruse or look, whatever, and everybody's happy and everybody's okay and, you know, nobody's hurting anybody and they're doing it for entertainment's sake and whatever gets them off, so to speak, then I guess...
Tune in to the Andy and Amanda show tomorrow.
I know Cornell. He's our show coordinator. He's trying to Andy. Okay, you can lay off the Larry Flynn now. It's enough Larry Flynn. Let's go. Let's move on to the Super Bowl. And you won't let somebody have a nice glass of chocolate milk. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Mhm. You boys, when you're together.
Hey Amanda, what's exciting over where you're at? Tell us what's going on over there.
Nothing exciting as porn, I can tell you that. But
good. Now you're starting to see our life through our eyes. Took you long enough, goddamn it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's nothing very exciting, but just you. Oh, here we go.
Oh my God. Don't tell me Larry Flint came back to life.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, okay.
Sometimes it can be a quickie. Most of the time, women do need a longer time to have foreplay and a longer time before they reach actually an orgasm. So it depends on the person.
I just wanted to be very clear.
I think I'm bad influence on Andy. It seemed like when y'all was on a show in the UK Monday, I mean in Hollywood, none of this was happening. Am I bad influence?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Like I said, you put it together, you're deadly.
How you say
it could be going around Andy like this. I am hot as hell and I can't take it anymore.
I stood all I can stand and I can't stand no more.
Excuse me.
I didn't mean what was I going to say? Oh, to cut you off. I didn't mean to cut
you
off.
Yes, you did, Andy. Yes, you did. It was all premeditated.
I did. It's true. I didn't mean to cut you off. I really did.
You're trying to throw me off.
I am indeed. Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Okay. Excuse me. Now talking about the news, Amanda Waller, UK yes. Hello, Bill. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? Oh, just
I'm
fine. How's
fine.
The wife? She's fine, too. Good day. Good day.
Yeah. What happened to Larry Flint today?
What happened to what?
Larry Flint today. Did he die?
Oh my goodness.
Hello? What happened today? Oh, Larry Flint? No, you don't say. Yeah. I'll tell you something, you know. I'll tell you.
These people are sick.
No comment.
Open up.
So, do you want me to get on with the news?
Yes.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. No, you know, no, I'm not going to.
No, please.
I wanted to see your response.
Right.
Do you know how many newscasts you've done for us so far? Do you know how many you've done?
And the fact that I have more than by the end, more than 300 first term. Think of it.
I dread to think.
Yeah.
How many?
224.
I would say, yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
That's amazing.
That's incredible, mate. That's incredible. Yeah. Okay, so I'll.
What I say is what I say.
Andy.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Amanda. I didn't mean to cut you off. I really did.
I tell you, I'm bad influence. I'm telling you, I'm bad influence on Andy. I'm telling you.
All right. Let me go get a drink. You go ahead and do the news. I'll be right back.
Wow. Me too, Amanda. We can leave you in.
You know what? Let's skip past it. Let's skip past it.
Now Amanda said, I'm mad as hell and I can't take it no more.
I'm done, damn it.
I'm done, damn it. Oh, I'm mad as hell. Yes.
Ooh. Now you tell him.
We're going to get us a drink. Okay.
Are we clear?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Boris Johnson has been very eager in today's COVID briefing in front of the all the newspapers convincing everybody to get vaccinated. We're currently at just over 13 million people with the first dose vaccinated so far. So he's been touching base on the importance of people not going ahead and booking holidays, etc., as it is unclear as to what is going to unfold in the next few weeks and leading up to summer, and expressed that the basic truth of the matter is that it's currently illegal to go on holiday. So,
really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So what our summer is going to look like and what we can do remains really uncertain right now. So I think at this point, I mean, I do understand people's dire need for normality. It's been getting to me just as much as anyone else, because where I work from home and I don't go to an office environment or, you know, other buildings where, you know, you interact with employees, etc., and have like face-to-face communication with people, you know, I've been feeling the impact of it. So I can see the importance of how we need to be sensible and not just throw ourselves into all these things that could be dangerous, even if, you know, appearing harmless. So, you know, just when we are managing to keep our heads above water with this virus here and have these numbers starting to drop, we need to be careful, very, very careful. So currently, even though they have dropped, we are still seeing like high rates of positive tests, and another 1,001 people have died. And Boris Johnson did say that in the next 2 weeks they will be setting out a roadmap out of lockdown, which is something everyone is so eager to hear. But again, we have to be patient and sensible with this, myself included, dammit. So one of the questions aimed at the scientific advisor, Sir Patrick Vallance, in today's briefing was questioned as to when the infection rates will start to fall. And due to the fact that the vaccine takes up to 3 weeks before it starts to take effect, they do not have accurate data just yet as to when that's going to happen, but they should have that data very shortly. So in terms of the vaccine, specifically the AstraZeneca vaccine, I mentioned in our last show that a group of experts from the World Health Organization gathered discussions on the effectiveness of the AstraZeneca vaccine with the new variants. And it's been concluded that it is still effective, but early data from South Africa in terms of its effectiveness in young adults have been inconclusive in its minimal protection, but it's still recommended that by giving two doses with a bigger gap of 12 weeks in between the two makes the vaccine even more effective. So we should see what happens with that. The other thing, I hate this part, boys, I hate this part, because this is something that makes me feel physically sick. But
which
I wanted
world?
To share this because I think any parents listening to this should really know about what goes on the internet when it comes to their children. And so, you know, here goes. I feel it's an important message to put across to our listeners. So the media has reported of a sex offender by the name of David Wilson, a 36-year-old roofer in the building trade from Norfolk. And he's between 2016 and 2020, he's been operating from his bedroom in his mother's home. Now, David posed as,
that is sick.
David posed as teenage girls online to lure in thousands of children from the UK and abroad. He would get these children to send over sexual images and videos of themselves, and as many as 500 children sent him images. He targeted boys, of which a big majority was between the ages of 11 and 13 years old. And
Holy crap.
I know, it's disgusting. He would manipulate them and blackmail them by expressing how he would share their pictures online that they had sent to him unless they did things for him. Now, he used many ways to manipulate these children and asked them to explicitly abuse themselves, their siblings, and their friends. One of his victims was only 4 years old.
Oh, my God.
It's so bad.
I got a question. Just to put out there, here's the question.
Yeah.
How, I mean, a 14-year-old's not dumb. 11-year-old's not a dummy. They sense when something inappropriate is happening. You sense these things. You don't need a parent over your shoulders every 2 seconds to let you know right from wrong. You begin to develop a sense of what right and wrong is as you get to be that age. And something as weird, as odd, as out there in left field as to take your clothes off or whatever it might be, or put yourself in a sexually compromising position, take a picture of yourself and send it to me. How is that? How would a kid? I don't know. Somebody 4 or 5. I don't really know. You know. I'm not I'm a guitar player. You know what I mean? But somebody who's 11 or 12 or 14 or 16 or 15, wouldn't that seem inappropriate? Wouldn't that ring some kind of bell and say, I'm not doing this? Like, what would be –
Yeah,
would somebody...
I think a lot of the time –
I can tell you that. I don't even know.
I think a lot of the time, Andy, children feel very insecure within themselves when it comes to things like this, and also they're afraid to say no.
So how did he meet these kids? Online?
He set up several accounts. He basically set up, I think it was about 7 different accounts or something like that, and he was pretending to be a teenage girl to try and, you know, get these boys interested. He'd start off by having a really friendly conversation, you know, luring them in, then start asking them questions, and then, you know, building up that trust, and then starting to threaten them, and it was disgusting. So, yeah, he threatened to send the images to his victim's friends, even though they were begging him and pleading with him to stop, even suggesting they wanted...
That's why parents should check their kids' Instagram, Facebook. They should control it, because you never know who's the predator out there. That's sick.
Yeah. Kids were saying that they wanted to take their own lives, you know, and he was still pushing them. Like, one child was in so much pain from his father dying of cancer, and another, his grandfather was dying, and yet this David still pushed them and threatened them and said, you know, you got to do this. So these poor children won't just bounce back so easily from all of this, and it's going to scar them for life. And as you can imagine, parents didn't know what was going on. So the children were too afraid to come forward, and it was going to Facebook's algorithm to actually spot all of this stuff going on, at least between 12 and 15-year-olds who had sent images of themselves to an account supposedly belonging to a 13-year-old girl. So the police found, it was 7 fake female identities, 14 separate social media accounts, and 5 prepaid mobile phones, or cell phones to tell everyone in the US. David pleaded guilty to 54 counts of causing and inciting a child under 13 to engage in sexual activity, 25 counts of causing a child to engage in sexual activity, 10 counts of causing a child to watch a sexual act, 3 counts of blackmail, and 4 counts of arranging or facilitating the sexual exploitation, I'll get that right, of a child. He has been sentenced to only 25 years, which I think is disgusting.
How many years? Came in a little bit. How many years?
Sorry, 25 years.
25?
Yeah. With a further 8 years of extended license once he is released from prison. But I'll tell you what, boys, I wouldn't want to be him because I know for a fact there are people here in the UK who will track down people like him and give them a beating and make their lives hell.
What else is this guy now? Did you say that earlier? I forgot. How old is he?
He's 36 years old.
So, you know, he'll still be a young guy when he gets out.
I felt so sick reading through it, I thought it was really important to share, because I think parents especially, need to be aware of just how vulnerable you open yourself up to be when you're online, because people go under different names, show fake pictures and accounts, and you end up trying to trust these people, you know, and make friends. And I just think it's a scary place to be for kids, and they need to be educated about this and made aware.
I'm surprised that there's not a stricter. I mean, I don't know how it is in the UK, but here, if somebody's given a 25-year sentence, they can get out in 7 years, or I don't know what it is, 9, 8, 7 years, something like that. And on good behavior, they're a good model citizen in prison. This guy's rehabbed. He's been great.
Yeah.
We can let him out. He's under supervision, blah, 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 in a halfway house. And they get out, you know, I don't know how it is there. If he's, you know, so what, he'd be like, what, 61 or something when he got out serving 25 years, so he could get out 10 years, you know, and be 46 and still be a danger to society. I don't know how it is there, whether it's 25 mandatory or just 25 years, but we can let him out early if he shows himself to be an exemplary citizen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it works there, but that's really disgusting. I mean, that's like, I have no room for that whatsoever.
No.
We can joke around a lot of things, but that's, you know,
that's bullshit.
You know, that's
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, like I said, I'm extremely passionate about wanting to put that across. And so,
thank you, darling.
Thank you.
You too.
Andy.
It's so hard, isn't it? Especially when you've got kids and, you know, you read things like that and it makes you pray sometimes they never experience anything related to that or, you know, have anything happen to them that they've been too afraid to come forward and express, this has happened to me, because they're too ashamed.
I hate when you bring us news like that, you know.
Why
have you come here?
Why did you come here?
I'm sorry. It just needed
to get out. It's fine. It needs to get out.
Yeah, yeah.
But why did you come here?
Because you asked me to, damn it.
Yes. And we love you, Amanda.
Yeah. Okay. Something brighter then, right, boys? Something brighter now.
Yeah, really. You know, first, you know, let's go right to our Cornelius virus update here. The death toll. That's
right.
24 hours, United States, 3,397. Oh, I got to tell you something real quick. I just thought of this because I was looking for the weekend. But today is, in fact, Wednesday. I started a Wednesday show without saying, hey, it's Monday. How was your weekend? Because the last two weeks in a row on Wednesday, I somehow thought it was Monday, and I had this whole intro, hey, it's Monday. How was your weekend? And then that.
Congratulations,
like,
Andy.
You're like.
Well, when you called me this earlier today, I thought, I was like, we have a show tomorrow, right?
You said that. He did. Amanda, he did. Cornell thought that, you know, I was talking on the phone and he was saying, we'll get ready for the show tomorrow. And I thought that he got it wrong or whatever. But he actually, then when I talked to him close to showtime, he says, oh, we got a show today. I'm like, yep.
Oh, Cornell.
We do.
Only on the
Wednesday shows. Right. I don't know the Wednesday shows. But anyway, getting back to our numbers, 3,397. Today, 3,269 yesterday, it's gone up a couple of days ago. It was 1,584. So they're holding steady, 1,500 to 3,500 people dying every day. In the UK, last 24 hours, 1,000 people died. Yesterday, 1,052 people died. So what I'm seeing here is it seems to be flattening out just a little bit, much more, like, be incredible. But it seems to be flattening out, and I'm not going to say it has anything to do with the vaccine right now. But and I think what we're going to do is, because of the Super Bowl, I bet you watch 2 weeks, we're going to see a spike. 3 weeks from now, you're going to start seeing the cases go up. Yeah. The new cases, you know, the new cases is 96,342 here in the UK, 13,000 new cases there. New cases of coronavirus, 96,300 today in the last 24 hours. About the same exact number, right around the same number yesterday. And 2 days ago, around the same number again. Pretty flat.
Yeah.
Again, and we say this every time we go over these numbers, you know, we say them like we're reporting on the stock exchange. These are human lives. These are daughters and sons and moms and dads and uncles and aunts with loved ones and friends and lives. And they did something for the career and they were out doing what you're supposed to do to enjoy, you know, when you're born into this world and you go out and can take advantage of what this world has to offer. These are people who did that and they're dead now or they're very sick now to the toll of 476,499 here. And, 112,798 in the UK. And it's absolutely tragic. And what strikes me now, and I'm particularly sensitive to it now, maybe even more so than I was previously, is because it was last February 8th, and we talked about this on our February 8th show, where that interview with Bob Woodward and Donald Trump, where Trump said, "Hey, Bob, this is a bad one, Bob. It's airborne, Bob. Much more contagious than the flu. It doesn't discriminate, Bob. Young, old." Pretty bad. Then why didn't he February 9th pick up a goddamn TV camera, get on there and say, hey, folks, here's what we're going to be fighting soon. Here's what we need to do. You know, I heard that Biden, with his efforts, is trying to get 4 N95 masks mailed to every household in the United States.
Oh, really?
That's great.
Wow.
In the works. in the works. This could have been done a year ago.
Yeah.
Last February. Hey, if when you go to your mailbox, you get this little box. It's got these four white things. When you go outside, just put them on. Because if you don't, you might die. All right. You don't use that language, but you know what I'm saying. It's just
I'm like, okay.
You have to be careful with that statement. Imagine how many people go to their mailboxes and somebody's
Andy,
putting something
Andy
in there.
Andy sure know how to make people look at his cameras. Look at this camera.
I'm like, to the point. I don't believe in letting grass grow or beating around the bush. You say it. You know, you might die
That's
if you
awesome.
Don't have to be a mask on. You know what I'm saying? If if in my administration, when I run, you're going to hear me saying things like this. I don't know what I'm running from.
Right.
But whatever I'm running from, I'll be yelling that as I run.
Damn right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm going to be a press secretary.
My secretary?
Like,
my what? My what?
I said press secretary, not breast secretary.
I thought you said my tech secretary. You're going to keep my appointments.
It's going to be a long list. It's going to be a long list.
Jeez.
Andy, we got more stuff to talk about, important stuff that's going on in America. No. Let me see the list. That's a priority. Or you're fired.
Oh, God. There is some optimistic news, you know, kind of staying on this kind of COVID conversation, we're kind of there. Ohio is expected to lift its overnight curfew, allowing residents to visit restaurants and bars after 11 p.m. The governor there, Mike DeWine, promised to eliminate the state's curfew, which is currently between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. If the number of COVID-19 patients in Ohio's hospitals remain below 2,500 for 7 consecutive days. So that's happening. And he's expected to lift that curfew, and that'll allow people to go into bars and restaurants after 11 o'clock. And speaking of that, in another state, the state of New Mexico, the governor there, Michelle Lujan Grisham, I think I should pronounce her name or something like that. Excuse me, Governor of New Mexico, if I said your name wrong. I probably did. But the rate of new coronavirus cases continues to drop in that state. New Mexico's governor says it will be dropping the mandatory quarantine rule for most out-of-state travelers in New Mexico. So we're starting to see reduction of the restrictions that have been put on us. And as a matter of fact, here in Southern California, there's patio dining opened up again, right? It was closed for 2 weeks. But here's the difference between what we're seeing now and what we saw in July when Trump said, we got to open up everything. We can't make the cure worse than the problem. Everything should be open. We got to go back to school. Oh, we gotta open up these businesses. And people, you can't make me wear a mask. Yeah, right. Trump. What we're seeing now, and here's the difference, and this is my opinion, I think I'm pretty well clued in, is that the openings, the reduction and loosening of the restrictions are based on science. What the numbers are telling us and what those and how the science relates to those numbers, what's actually going on. Are people beginning to get the message, you've got to go out and wear a mask? If we wear a mask, we protect ourselves, then this thing can't spread. If this thing can't spread, we're going to be a lot better off as a population. If we can't spread, we'll nail it. It won't have anywhere to go. It will magically disappear. Right.
Yeah.
And what I think we're seeing is people just being, and I don't care if these are some of the same people, I'm sure they are people who months ago said, I'm out, you know, just I have the right, I'm going to that store and God damn it, I'm not going to wear a mask and I'm going to, you know, and we saw lots of that. We saw film of horrible things going on between the potential patrons of stores and store managers and owners, you know, fights, fist fights, and so forth. And again, I think that whole attitude, that whole thing where bully somebody around came from Trump himself, you know, Lion Ted, Sleepy Joe, the Trump rallies when he was running for president in 2016. Punch that guy in the nose. If he fights back, I'll pay your medical bills. What kind of talk is that for somebody running for president? And this is back in 2016.
Idiot.
But that whole
summit.
That whole bully, you know, barroom, bowling alley thug mentality that Trump brought to the White House as part of his persona dictated how the base would respond in specific situations. I have the right not to wear a mask. God damn it. You can't make me. It's my right. Hey, I'm locked and loaded. You know, do something about it, dude. Do something about it. You know, hey, Trump. You know, and that's where I think, you know, from the president's office, from the Oval Office on down, and some of these folks just needed that. They had a thirst for whatever that is, that anger, that you know, the beat your chest, you know, whatever the impetus of that is in somebody's psyche. Trump brought it out in them, you know. And I think what we're starting to see now, and not quickly, but we're starting to see some of that begin to dissipate. People are being responsible. People are wearing masks. People, the first responders and healthcare workers are being vaccinated. I'm getting number two tomorrow, and Cornell's getting number one tomorrow.
Oh, really?
We're not talking about going to the bathroom here.
Uh-huh.
What are we talking about?
We're not talking about number two. Number one.
We're talking about
number two injection, number two vaccine for me of the Modelo.
Yes. Number one tomorrow. Number one.
Which are you getting? What are you getting there, Cornell? Modelo? Not Modelo.
Andy, I really don't know until I get there. I'll definitely let you know.
But I hope it's not like tetanus or something, that they really are going to give you the right vaccine for the right thing, right?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Making
definitely.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. I can't wait. And then I'm coming out to Hollywood.
Yeah. I look forward to having you out here, man.
On my birthday. Amanda, you coming
April.
Too. I'm going to fly you out to Hollywood.
You're going to
fly
me out to Hollywood? Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. That would be a treat.
Yes.
Hopefully,
me and Andy are going to do it, right?
Here we go.
Yeah,
Andy. We
that would be
out
so great.
Hollywood.
That would be so great. Hey, I wonder if I can give my, you know, I think I was telling Amanda on Monday's show that I have I got a refund from American on a trip. I was supposed to do a whole bunch of shows and a record recording in London last June. I think it was May or something like that. Anyway, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
COVID, you know, and American wasn't giving refunds at the time because the UK wasn't on their hot country list. The only thing they would do is give you credit. So I took the credit. And I have a round-trip airfare from here to London. And I wonder if I can give it to Amanda. Or if I'm lying.
That would be great.
It's a pretty
that
cute ticket.
That would be
ticket.
Great.
I don't know.
It's a cheap seat in the luggage compartment. But I'm sure you'll be okay, Amanda. You can do it. It's only 12 hours.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mind sitting with the dogs and...
chicken.
You know?
I'm tell you... Did he tell you it's a crop duster?
You're going to make me hold on to the wings with my hair flapping in the wind.
Scoopy and Red Baron is one of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just make sure that you have your parachute. That's all I got to say.
Parachute, goggles, yeah. My protection in case I swallow anything up. Yeah.
Amanda, it's going to be so funny because it's going to be chickens in front of you that got better seats than you.
That's fine. I'm humble enough to be able to do that. Thank God.
Let's do it. I'm thinking about we all meet up in Vegas in April and we celebrating my birthday in Vegas.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I think Vegas would be the thing to do if it's open. We'll have to, you know, we'll have to judge it, look at it, see what's going on.
Yeah.
That would be really great to do. It truly, because I'd be able to.
I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
Yes.
Definitely.
We'd like to welcome you here.
I have been expecting you.
Thank you very much for the invitation, boys. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
That.
You coming.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Hey, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks won the Super Bowl. And
yes.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that. They won, and Tom Brady was extraordinary. What a phenomenal. You know, I wasn't, you know, voting for them. I was, what do you call it, rooting for them. But you got to give him credit. You know, he was absolutely exquisite. Him and Gronk.
They call
you know,
him the GOAT.
Patriots.
Is that right?
The GOAT.
Yeah, is that what they call him? The GOAT.
I haven't heard that one. Maybe you called that over there.
I'm sure I saw something online where people were calling him the goat or something, but I didn't understand why.
I haven't heard that one. It doesn't mean they don't. It's just I haven't heard it. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
But here's the interesting thing was we know the Super Bowl was in Tampa, and Tampa was, you know, the first time in 55-year Super Bowl history that the Super Bowl was played in the home team's stadium. And the home team won.
Yeah.
And it's 83 degrees in Tampa. Thank you. Your weather's brought to you by Corona Beer. It's 83 degrees today, this afternoon in Tampa. But normally, Amanda, when they have Super Bowl victories here, a couple of days after that, the team flies back to their home city and they have a great big parade and millions of people or whatever it is come out the streets and they show the trophy and they go down the street and everybody yells hooray, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But in Tampa, what they did was, just as why do people move to Florida? You grab a boat, some friends, a few beverages, you take an 83-degree day in middle of February, plus you take thousands of adoring football fans and the Vince Lombardi Super Bowl trophy, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers celebrate their Super Bowl 55 victory with a boat parade on the Hillsborough River.
That is so cool.
Isn't it cool as hell? And you know what? See something neat, folks. You want to see something neat? Obviously, this is an audio program. I can't show you a picture. I would, but I, you should go ahead, folks. Look up the Tampa News or whatever you might, Tampa newspapers, whatever, and look at some of the pictures. It's amazing. It's so cool looking. It is so cool. All these thousands of boats, and there's the football team in a big boat parade, and everybody cheering. It's really, really cool. Really cool. I think Tampa should win this thing more often.
I like the whole celebration aspect that you guys have over there with like sports, because I know sports is a huge deal over there, and sport is a big deal here, but it's not celebrated in the same kind of hype, and so when I hear about things like that, I think, wow, yeah, that's so good. I guess we're a bit more reserved in that sense, I don't know, but
excuse me. Oh, they won. Very good, Ocha. I think we're winning.
Do you have any great football?
You don't say that. Why do you have any great football? I think we're winning.
Amanda,
I love that line.
This is not me. Don't blame
what?
This is not me. This is not me making fun of you.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
I don't take it personally. Carry on.
Yes, it is.
I think I think we're ahead, aren't we? I think we won. The game is over. You don't say. Is it really?
Yeah.
I think it's funny how you think, though, that people raise their voices towards the end of a question or sentence.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't happen.
Man, only thing you got to do is like this. Well, guys, really, everything is okay.
Did I get it? Did I get
whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. Oh, my goodness gracious.
You guys.
You know.
I still didn't prepare my American accent. I'm going to work on that,
Please do. You have a couple days to do it. We'll give you a couple
Thank
days.
Thank
you.
Yeah. That's an order. No.
It's which accent I'm going to have to choose to be very careful with. I don't want to offend anybody.
Listen, this is the way it is.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Amanda. Cornell. We're done. We're an hour, man. We're wrapping.
Wow.
We're not really wrapping. We're wrapping the show.
Hey, I want to say thanks to all our Instagram listeners. I went live and everything, so it's only a few people on there. But thank you guys for listening.
Thank you, everyone.
Are you there, Cornell? We lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Quiet all of a sudden.
It went quiet. Went quiet there. Anyway, so it's been a pleasure, folks. More for you than for us, I'm sure. Anyway, listen. But Amanda, take us home, kiddo.
Okay, from Andy Kimball in Hollywood, from Cornell Butler in the amazing Delaware, and myself in the UK, Amanda Love, sending you our love, and thank you for being here and listening with us, and we'll see you on the next show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.